In today's gospel reading, we hear a story that's familiar to many of us, the parable of the prodigal son. In recent years, I've heard it called by other names, including a father who had two sons, the lost sons, and the lost son and his welcoming father. What people seem to be getting at with these different titles is that there are several ways of looking at and hearing this story. We hear it differently depending upon our perspective, on where we are coming from. Let me give you a couple of examples. For Dean Wolfe, who's the bishop of the Diocese of Kansas, where I recently served, Jesus' parable of the prodigal son is the most important story of the Bible. He believes that the outrageous, over-the-top welcome the father extends to the son that he thought was lost forever reflects the extravagant love that God has for each one of God's children. For Bishop Wolfe, this is the core message of the gospel. God's love for us is eternal and generous beyond imagination. But I know others whose reactions to the parable is quite the opposite. Several years ago, I worked with a man for whom this story caused significant resentment. He identified with the pain and the anger of the elder son, who had done everything expected of him and felt undervalued because of his father's warm reception of his brother. My friend's understanding, and I would say his misunderstanding of the parable, sadly drove him away from the church. Two thoughtful, intelligent people, and two very different takes on the same tale. Why? Because our perspective matters. It makes a difference where we see ourselves in the story or in any situation. Where do we place ourselves with respect to the other characters in the scene? How do our personal experiences and priorities influence our perspective? For the elder son in the parable, it's all about fairness, equity. His response, like the coworker I mentioned, reflects his belief that the world and God are keeping score. We might read into the story that he values or enjoys the life and opportunity, or that he's been the good son only because he had to be, because it was required of him, and not because he valued the opportunities and the kind of life that his father was offering him. Perhaps he feels tethered to the home place, almost like a slave who doesn't have the freedom to leave. He's following the rules and mentally tallying up the score. Maybe someday, he thinks, I'll get my reward. And now, here's his kid brother, who throws away his money, and what does he get in return? A big party. And what of this wayward son? Think about what he asks. Give me my inheritance, he says to his dad, which is kind of like saying, I can't wait for you to die so I can have some fun. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a hard thing for me to hear from my child. This young man also seems to feel tied down, but at least he has the moxie to say so. He can't be bothered to keep score. Now let's consider the father's perspective. In the parable, we see a parent who loves both his sons and wants them to be satisfied. He even goes so far as to give the younger son one half of his property. I've been wondering how he does that. Does he sell half his land and half of his animal stock and hand over the cash? I'm not quite sure how that works. But in any case, Dad lets the son make his own decision and go off on his venture or misadventure, perhaps, probably wondering when or if he'll ever see him again. Can we imagine that the father turns to his older son for company and for solace? And that he yearns to have his family together again and broken relationships repaired? That's what God wants too. God allows us the freedom to make choices, even if it means that we drift away from the abundant life that God wants for us. But God is always waiting for us to return and to renew our relationship. Our daughter often asks what the lessons are for Sundays when I'm preparing a sermon. And she likes to weigh in with her thoughts. She's a busy wife and mom with four kids, two of whom are teenage boys. And earlier this week, when I told her the gospel was the story of the prodigal son and asked if she had any ideas, her perspective as a mother was obvious. And without missing a beat, she says, "No matter how big and stinky you get, you're still mommy's baby." Or I might add, God's baby. I had to laugh, and I thought of that younger son dragging himself home, tired and dirty, and really probably very stinky. But what's his father's reaction? He rushes out to meet him, and he gives him a big hug, and he calls for the best robe. And then he throws a big celebration. And when his older son refuses to come in, the father goes out to him as well. This father has compassion for both his sons, and he draws them into his loving embrace. If Lent is the season of reflection, when we're each taking stock of our own sins and shortcomings, contemplating our human brokenness and relative stinkiness, and our need for God's redemption, I pray that during this season, we will also recognize our deep yearning for love and relationship. Let us remember that God's love has no limits, and God wants us to come home. No matter how far we've wandered, or how much talent and time that we have squandered, God is seeking us and longing for us to return. And when we do, God is going to run out to meet us and give us a big bear hug. I think my daughter really hit the nail on the head as she spoke from her perspective and everyday experience of two boys who are too quickly becoming men. You know what else she said? God does not keep score. So that's it. Whatever your perspective may be, the lesson from today's gospel is pretty simple. First, God is not keeping a tally of our wins and failures or measuring us against one another. And second, no matter how stinky we get, we are always God's cherished children. Amen.